Praise God. Well, let's get into the Word for just a little bit this morning. Now, over the past several weeks, we've been talking about loving God. Loving God. Now, if you've missed any of these messages, I encourage you to go to the website, lifechurchlubbock.com. You'll find a tab for sermons. Click on that. It'll take you to the most recent sermons. And the last several ones we've been doing have been talking about loving God. We've been starting off each week with this particular passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, it's one of the most misquoted, misused verses in all of the Bible. Let me read it to you. You probably already know what it says. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And as I said, it's very misused. I mean, even people who don't know God, even people who never go to church, never have been born again, they have this concept that everything is going to work together just because I think that it will. They say stuff like this, "Well, you know, everything happens for a reason." That means that they believe that God orchestrated the events somehow and that He will eventually make it work together for good and that He is somehow obligated to them to make it work together for good. They say stuff like, "Well, everything happens for a reason." Well, it does happen for a reason. Sometimes the reason is they've made a mistake. Sometimes the reason is they've been foolish. Sometimes the reason is they've not listened to wisdom. Sometimes the reason is they have listened to God and done what God said to do, and it's already going to work out for their good. But they say stuff like that. It has a reason, and it'll work out. They say stuff like, "Well, everything works for good." Well, you know this as well as I do. Not always. It doesn't always work for good. There are things that don't work for good. I'm going to promise you right now that if you're out there disobedient to God somehow, doing things that are in opposition to His Word, it's not going to work together for good until you repent, until you turn to His way of doing it. You see, the Bible says things do work together for good, but it gives us clear understanding that it's only for a certain group of people. Those who are called, the ones He's called to His purpose, the ones who are called to purpose, and we know this, that God has given everyone or called everyone to a purpose in this life. We understand that. So that relates to everybody. The next part's the key part. It says God works together things for good to those that love Him. Not to those that He loves. God loves everybody. The fact is, God cares deeply, loves everyone so much that He sent His only begotten Son. He loves everyone. That's not the question. The question is, do we love Him? The manifest presence of God working things together for good is conditional. It's not automatic, even for Christians. Just because I got born again so many years ago, so many weeks ago or months ago, does not mean that God owes me something. The reality is I owe Him everything. I owe Him my life. I owe Him my very being. I owe Him gratitude for my eternity that I get to spend with Him in heaven. God loves everybody. The question here is, do I love Him? We've also looked at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 2. "If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Now this is a contrast between knowledge and love. Now, it's not just about how much I know, it's about how much I love. You see, we've confused something. We think that having knowledge means we have faith. The reality is knowledge is not faith. We think that because we have knowledge about God that we love Him. Listen, having knowledge about God is not the same as loving God. Having knowledge about God is not the same as having an intimate relationship where I know Him. Knowing about Him isn't the same as knowing Him, being intimate with Him. You see, I can know a lot about Him and not love Him. And we can see a lot of people know a lot about God, but they don't really love Him. Faith and love are choices of the heart. Knowledge is something that is done in the mind. The Amplified Bible reads those two verses this way. If anyone imagines that he's come to know and understand much of divine things without love, he does not yet perceive, recognize, and understand it strongly and clearly, nor has become intimately acquainted with anything as he ought or as is necessary. In other words, if I think I know something, compared to God, I know nothing. God knows everything. He understands it all. And to think that somehow, because I know stuff, makes God pleased with me. Listen, God knows everything. The verse 3 says, but if one loves God truly, with affectionate reverence, prompt obedience, and grateful recognition of His blessing, he is known by God, recognized as worthy of His intimacy and love, and is owned by Him. You see, God knows everybody. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything. But the question isn't the facts that God knows. The question is, am I known by God in an intimate relationship with Him? Am I experiencing God? Is this something that's going on in my life? Do I have experience with God, or do I simply know about God? You see, God wants us to be known of Him. See, those that are intimate with Him, those that have Him involved in their life continually, those are the ones that receive the promise of all things working together for good. We've also read this passage of Scripture. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in verse 15, pretty sweet verse, if ye love me, keep my commandments. There's not a lot of confusion about that verse. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Here's how we know if we love Him, if we keep His commandments. That's how we know. He goes on to say in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is this manifestation of his great power, his great love that makes all things work together for good. Well, Judas, not Iscariot, was in the group, and he said, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself to us and not to the world? How are you going to do this? How is it that we could be different from the world? Jesus said, if a man love me, if anybody loves me, he will keep my words. In other words, he will do what I've said to do. He will guard these words and do them. And my Father, Jesus said, will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, Jesus is saying, you know what? If you're loving me, you're going to be doing what I say, and my Father and I are going to come and live with you, and we're going to bring all of our stuff when we move in, and everything that we have, you have access to. And that's what he's saying. He's saying the proof of our love, though, is keeping His commandments. Now, he's not talking so much about the Ten Commandments, even though we understand, we can see throughout Scripture that those Ten Commandments are very, very relevant for today. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the New Testament commands, which we'll look at a little bit later. But we can see from Jesus' answer to Judas here, the one that's not Iscariot, that there's a distinction between those that love God and those that don't. There's a distinction between those that truly love Him and those who don't love Him. You see, when we love God, we'll do what He says because we love Him more than we love the things that contradict His will. If I love Him most, then I will conform my life to Him because I love Him more. I love Him more than the stuff. I love Him more than the sin. I love Him more than the ways of the world. When I love Him, I will do what He says because I love Him more than what would stop me from doing that. When we love Him, we will do whatever He says. I heard a silly story about a huge college freshman who figured he'd try out for the football team. And the coach said, well, can you tackle? Well, watch this, said the freshman. He ran smack into a telephone pole and he shattered it into splinters. Wow, said the coach, I'm impressed, but can you run? Of course I can run, says the freshman. He was off like a shot, and in just over 9 seconds he had run a 100-yard dash. Wow, that is great, said the coach. Can you pass a football? The freshman rolled his eyes and thought about it, hesitated for a few seconds, and he said, well, sir, if I can swallow it, I can probably pass it. Well, you know, we need to have a certain amount of enthusiasm with God for what He tells us to do. What's He calling us to do? If He calls us to do it, He'll empower us to do it. And if we love Him, we will do what He says because He asks us to do it. We must love Him more than anything else. Loving God. Notice Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now that's pretty powerful. Loving God requires us doing something. Too much of Christianity today is all about me doing nothing and God doing everything. The reality is, God is regarding my righteousness, regarding my salvation, regarding my eternal destiny. God has already done everything regarding all of that. The reality is also this. If I love Him, and if things are going to work together for me for good here, and I'm going to fulfill the plan He has for my life, and stand before Him and Him say, well done, then I'm going to have to love Him and do something. I'm going to have to keep His commandments. Loving God is more than a feeling. It's more than an emotion. It's more than a thought that says, of course I love Him. I got baptized when I was 6. You see, when we do what He says, we are privy to His manifested love in our daily life. Loving God allows God to have access into all the avenues and areas of our life and allows Him to make things work out together for good. When we love God, we will do something. We will do what He tells us to do. Loving God is doing something. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Keeping His commandments is doing something. Keeping His commandments is more than just doing. It's trusting Him. When He tells me to do something, either through the Word or by His Spirit, I must trust Him enough to do what He said, believing that no matter how it looks, that He will make it work the way it's supposed to work. And if I'll just do what He said because I trust what He says, because I trust Him, it'll work out the way He wants it to work out. You see, when I love Him, see, you can tell how much you love God by how much you trust God. But what if I do what He says? If I do what He says, I won't have anything. Well, God's saying, you'll have me. You see, He's better than anything else. But if I do what God tells me to do, if I give the way God tells me to give, I'll never have any money. Still, God is saying, you'll have me. That's better than anything else. See, loving Him is trusting Him. That if He tells me to do it, He will empower me to do it, and then He will provide, and then all things will work together for my good. Because I love Him. I can tell I love Him if I just do what He says to do. Loving Him is trusting Him and loving what He loves. If I love what God loves, then my motive will always be right and I'll do what He says. Trust is always connected to love. If I love God, I will trust God. If I trust God, I will love Him and love whatever He loves. You see, if I know that God loves me, I know that I can trust Him. You know, we used to sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Well, it's not enough just to know that He loves me. The question is, do I love Him? And am I willing to do what He tells me to do? If I love God, I'll do that. You see, if I love Him, I am motivated to do what He says. Because I love Him. Jesus said this in John chapter 18, verse 12. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's how God gets glory. He said, so shall you be my disciples, my followers. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now he's talking about going on, staying in His love. Listen to the next sentence. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. There it is again. If I'm doing what He says, I'm going to live in His love. And then He's going to live in me, according to the verses we read earlier. He said, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He said, man, you want a happy life? Just do what I say. Just keep the commandments. To continue in His love, we must trust Him and do what He says. What are His commandments? Well, that's important to know. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 21 and through 23, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. In other words, if I know I'm right with God and everything's good with me, then I'm going to be confident in my relationship with God. And if that's the case, verse 22 says, And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That's talking about loving God, isn't it? Because we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. Here it says if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments and do what's pleasing, then we can have confidence toward Him and know that when we pray, we're going to get our prayer answered. Verse 23, And this is His commandment. Here it is. This is His commandment. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. See, His commandments are believing on Jesus. Not just to get to heaven. Believing on all that Jesus died for us for. Believing for the victory that Jesus called us to. Believing that we can live the life that God has made available to us by moving on from just getting born again into a life that is productive, a life that is loving God, a life that is producing the will and the plan of God all the way around us. Believing in Jesus and loving people. Loving one another. Loving Christian brothers and sisters. You see, loving Him. His commandments are faith and love, belief and love. Loving Him. When I love Him, that empowers me to keep my flesh under because I love Him more than the other stuff that I would do. Now let me get back here, John chapter 15. John 18, I'm sorry. He said that if we love Him, we'll keep that commandment. When we keep those commandments, we'll abide in His love, or stay in the place of His love. In other words, His love will be manifested to us. Living in that kind of love for God brings fullness of joy. That's how you're going to have a fun, full life, is obeying what He says, loving Him, not emotionally, even though there's emotion involved. I mean, you'll cry, you'll dance, you'll shout, you do all those things, but it's not about emotion. It's about a choice to choose to love Him more than anything else. And what He says goes because I love Him. When we love Him, we'll love what He loves. We'll love anything, whatever He tells us to love. And you know what I found out? The thing He tells us to love in the Scripture is not the car, not the house, not the money, not even the promises. The thing He tells us to love are people. He wants us to love people, specifically His people. All right, let's look at 1 John chapter 4. Down in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says this. It says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's interesting. See, if we love, then we know God. In this, verse 9 says, was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins. We didn't love Him first, He loved us. That's how we can love Him, is because He loved us. That's where it's all about. We know He loves us. He sent Jesus for us. That's where the love came from. And now we should return that love by loving people. Beloved, if God, verse 11, if God so loved us, then it says, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. That's what He just said earlier. If we're doing His word, if we're doing what He says, He dwells in us. And His love is perfected in us. Now that's powerful. Perfected. Come to completion. Come to fruition. Accomplishes its purpose. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because He hath given us His Spirit. In other words, if we don't love others, then we really don't even know God because He loves people. If we love God, we're going to love people. If we don't know God, we don't really love Him. Even though our feelings and our intellect may tell us, love is loving people as well as God. He says, love perfectly. perfected. That's interesting. Love perfected. That means love that is fulfilling its purpose. Love that is completing its course. Love perfected is loving God, which is loving people. Loving Him and loving them. If we'll love God, we'll love what God loves. And the only thing on this planet that's going to last forever, the thing that God loves, is people. And when we love God, we're going to love people. That chapter goes on in verse 14 to say, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Here's another statement. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Well, we just saw that when he dwells in us, the love is perfected. And his love is in us, and we're going to love people. He goes on to say, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love," this perfected love, "casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him. We love him because he first loved us." But then he says, "If any man say, I love God, and hates his brother, is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." There's the command. We love God. We're commanded to love God. We're commanded to love our brother. Commanded to love them. If we hate what God loves, which is people, specifically our brothers in the Lord, then we don't really love him. If we don't love our brethren, then when we say we love the Lord, we're lying. We're lying to ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves because we're not doing what the Word says. And James says that we've got to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Because if we just hear it and don't do it, then we're deceiving ourselves. You see, we've got to love people. Man, if we say, "Well, I love the Lord, but I can't stand those Baptists," then we're lying. You see, we either love God and the Baptists, or we hate God and the Baptists. We love God. We love His people. Remember, Jesus said the greatest two commandments are love God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said on those two commandments hang all the law of the old covenant. That's what this new covenant is saying. Loving God, loving people, standing with our brother. See, we can't love God and hate our brothers. Jesus told some religious people back in John chapter 15, verse 24. He told them, he said, "You've seen me and you've seen my Father, but you hated us." Even though they knew a lot about the Bible, because they didn't love, they missed out on the whole thing. We must love people because he loves people. Now, I'm going to continue reading in 1 John. Let me read the last sentence of 1 John chapter 4. We're going to jump right to 1 John chapter 5, understanding that chapters and verses weren't in the original letter that was written. It says, "And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." He tells us we've got to love our brothers. If we love God, we've got to love our brothers. He's saying, you know what? If we believe on Jesus, then we're born of God. And if we are begotten of God, we must love not just the one who begot us, but those he begat, loving people. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Man, that's what we know. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. To love God, we got to trust God. Man, we got to trust him. We got to keep his commandments. We got to love people. Loving God, that's how things are going to work together for good. See, I can't be mad at people. I can't be mad at the last church I went to. If I have all that bitterness and that anger going on, and I'm not forgiving, I'm not loving, it's not going to work out together for good for me. I need to know, if I love God, I'm going to do what he says to do. Now let's jump somewhere. Let's look at John chapter 21. I want you to think about this for just a few minutes. Now, Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. Peter and the boys went fishing. Jesus on the shore, did you catch anything? No, he said, cast the net on the other side. They caught all these fish. They recognized it was the Lord. After they had breakfast, the Bible says in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith again unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. You'd think that'd be enough, but he said to him the third time in verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now this is interesting. Peter had denied the Lord three times out of his own pride, out of his own fear, and now he's being questioned about his love for Jesus. Notice something. Jesus did not come to Peter and say, Peter, Peter, man, God loves you. There's no question about whether God loves you. God loves everybody. He didn't say to Peter, oh, Peter, man, I forgive you and I love you. I love you so much, Peter. You see, there's more to knowing to this thing than just knowing that God loves me. If my life is going to become all that God intends for it to become, I've got to answer one question here. Do I love God? Do I love Jesus? Do I love you? See, Jesus asked him about his love for God. You see, God loves everybody. We already know that part. The question isn't about whether he loves us. The question is, do we love him? And if we love him, we'll love them, speaking of the people that he calls us to, people that we're in contact with. If we love God, we'll love Peter. Jesus lets Peter know that the proof of his love for God is doing something. Doing what Jesus tells him to do, namely feed them. The proof of love is doing something. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? The more than these is an interesting thing. It's debated by lots of theologians, but basically it means, do you love me more than anything else? Do you love me more, if it's the disciples more than all these other guys? Do you love me more than the fish? Do you love me more than the boat? Do you love me more than anything else? Do you love me? Do you love me more than anything else? In other words, is there anything in your life, Peter, that would cause you to say no to me? Is there something going on you would refuse me for? Because if there's something in your life, my life, Peter's life, that we would say, I'll do anything for you, God, but not that, then we just said we love that, these, more than we love him. See, we've got to love him more than anything. Is there anything you'd say no to God about? Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's a place you want to go, something you want to do. Do you love him more than those? In other words, Jesus said, Peter, would you do this for me? Would you do it for me? See, he may be asking you this day, if you love me, will you forgive them for me? Do you love me? And if you do, will you go to them, to this one or that one, and tell them about me? Would you do it for me? Or do you love yourself and afraid of the rejection more? If you love him, won't you get over the hurt from that last church for him? So you can live productively, doing what you're supposed to do for him. You see, the proof of our love is doing what he asks us to do, and trusting him to do what he's promised. Do you love me? That's what Jesus is saying. No matter what it looks like. And when I love him and I'm willing to do what he says to do, I can be assured that all things will work together for my good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your great love. We know you love us. And now, Lord, we pray that we would love you, that we would be willing to do whatever you say, be willing to go wherever you say go, Lord, because we love you and we know all things work together for good because we love you with all of our hearts. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.